Now that E3 season has come and gone, it's time to discuss our overall thoughts of this showcase this year. God, I felt like I butchered that. Hold on. Let's try it again. Now that the E3 season has come and gone, it's time to discuss our overall thoughts of this showcase this year. God, I fuck it up at the end, I feel.
Now that the E3 season has come and gone, it's time to discuss our overall thoughts of the showcases this year.
Yours is beautiful.
Thank you.
I just couldn't say it. I don't know how to speak. Who chose me to be host?
You did.
I did. Yep. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Campfire Gaming Podcast. My name is Matt. I will try to be your host. We'll see if Dan leaves my car crash of an intro in or not. But I'll try to be your host tonight. Joining me, as always, is Rich. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing pretty well, Matt. How are you doing?
Hopefully going to do all right here hosting. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so before we kick it off and get into what we're going to talk about tonight, just a reminder that next week is going to be our book club episode. We are covering Little Nightmares. So be sure to pick it up, play along with us, and then jump over to our Discord and or our Twitter or Instagram and let us know your thoughts on the game. We'd love to hear if you liked it or not. You know,
book club.
If you
enjoyed it.
Yeah. We always have fun with our book club games, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, the book club is always, in my opinion, the most fun stuff that we do. Because we get to try out all sorts of cool-ass video games. Well, maybe cool, maybe not so cool. We get to try video games and then talk about it. And that's the best thing about this podcast, is just talking about video games.
Have we picked a game that has just one or all of us just absolutely hated?
I mean, the reviews of when we did Metro were kind of like, you know?
I think it was just because it didn't age well was kind of our problems there. Not like it was just complete ass.
No.
I know, yeah. I think Mike at the time hated Journey. I think when we did that last year.
I didn't think it was, Journey I didn't think was bad. I just, it wasn't high, because I remember we had to pick our worst book club, I think last year is when we did that, or in December. And I picked it for my worst because, out of all the games that we had played, that was probably the one that impacted me the least. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Journey was definitely the one that, I wasn't it was okay. But, there haven't really been any games that we've played that have been just monumentally bad.
Yeah.
Maybe that needs to change. If you have a suggestion of a monumentally bad game that we should play, pitch it to us in our Discord. You can find a link to that at campfiregamingpodcast.com, along with a bunch of other episodes, and a link to our Twitter at campgamepod, and a link to our other socials as well.
Yeah. And I don't know. You covered it all. So, yeah, no, go check us out. Hop on our Discord. And yeah, suggest. I mean, I know some crappy games, like Kabuki Warriors for the original Xbox. Or Hooters Road Trip on PlayStation. You know, if we found some Ataris, we could try to do E.T. That'd be a fun book club. We would just have to find probably an emulator, though.
You'd have to find an Atari. I mean, that won't be hard to find.
Yeah. Just go down to one of the retro game stores that's right down the road and see if they have one. Yeah. I'll bet they do.
Go out to, Arizona and dig up your own copy of E.T.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
The sacred E.T. cartridges.
Yeah, they. Which, by the way, I forget what the name of the documentary is, but they actually did do that where they.
I know.
Crew went out and dug it up. They found some, but not the legendary, what was it, millions of copies that were supposedly buried there?
Right. There were a bunch of copies, but it was not near that many.
Yeah, not the crazy amount. But anyways. Yes, anyways. So check out our play the next book club game, Little Nightmares, and let us know what you think. Our thoughts will be up I guess a week from now, from when you're listening to this, if you were listening to this episode on the day it is released.
Yes, sir.
But enough with that. Let's talk. What do we call it? Kind of E3? E3 season?
Yeah, it was the kind of E3 season, mainly because there's no E3. But it's like that showcase, you know, that's the beginning of the summer, the big showcases. Everybody gets all their presentations ready. Lots Gamer of corporate Christmas. Speak.
Gamer yeah. Christmas season sounds, that kind of covers it, right?
More or less, yeah. Like, I mean, I would call that to be the Steam sale. I mean, that's my Christmas.
Gotcha. Which actually, if you're listening again, when it's, I think it starts, is it Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Supposedly it starts this Thursday, June 23rd, and it runs until, I believe, like June or July 7th? It's either the 7th or the 9th.
Nice.
But it's usually until after the 4th of July. So if you are ready to empty your wallet, be prepared for the Steam sale.
I don't know if my wallet can handle it. Honestly, there's probably one or two games I might try to pick up, but I've got so many games now. Like, I'm excited to see if there's any really good deals. Maybe I'll grab something. But
I mean, what's 10 or 20 more?
Yeah, right?
Right.
There's got to be, isn't there a page out there where you can like connect up your Steam account and you can actually see how many of your games you've actually played? Because I swear I probably got like 100. I know this is probably a small amount, but I probably have like 160 or something games. I probably only maybe played like 20 of them.
Yeah, that sounds about right for me too. Because I have a lot of like retro games in my Steam library that I pick up from Steam sales here and there.
Yeah.
And I just like some of them I go back and play.
My thing was I collected a lot of them through like the Humble Bundles. It'd be like, oh, I want that one game. And then you get like 20 other games with it. And it's like, well, I'm not going to play those other ones. At least I don't think I will. But yeah, E3 season has, as we said, come and gone. And it was funny. We started getting into this before we start recording this episode. But I'm sitting here going, looking at the show notes that, you know, we put together here going like, this weird feeling. We covered, there was a lot that happened in a few days last week, but the weird thing is usually, as you know, a podcast that covers a lot of the news, we have like a week or two or more sometimes of like all this information, like digesting it, and more information comes out, and then we got a good couple episodes we're talking about, you know, all this other information. I'm sitting here going like, damn, it's been a quiet week, which is weird for the week after, you know, quote unquote E3, you know, right? Mm-hmm. It was just so an odd feeling with the essentially lack of news and more and, you know, new information that comes out of all the games that were shown or announced last week.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's probably a pretty big reason. I think, you know, you've talked about it a lot, both in Discord and on this podcast, about how you really miss just E3 proper.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole showcase of everything. Like, you know, like they get the big expo hall and it's just a big convention and there's lots of press releases and things like that. Without E3 really bringing everything together, everybody just seems to be kind of like, you know, like that, like it almost feels like, like the heart isn't in it anymore.
Yeah,
because we've seen a lot of showcase. Well, I wouldn't even say a lot. We saw Summer Game Fest. We got the PlayStation State of Play. We got the Xbox Bethesda Showcase. We got a little bit of like a Resident Evil thing.
Yeah, Capcom.
And a little bit of a Square Enix thing with like all the Final Fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Although that might have been part of PlayStation. I can't remember.
Even Devolver Digital was small. They only showed off a few games and talked about a few games.
Yep. Yep. Devolver was having fun, you know, making jokes about themselves than actually showcasing video games.
Honestly, that was like a 28 or 30 minute showcase, and like a good 20 minutes of it was just their little story stuff that they do.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, like it can be funny, but god, it just hangs around too long. like we get it. You're making a funny, like you're hilarious. We understand. Like, let's move on. I'm not here to see you be funny. I'm here to see the video games that you're publishing.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward to it because it's a little different, especially since we don't, I think a lot of the showcases the last few years is E3, you know, proper has kind of been dying, and in the pandemic and all that stuff is like a lot more companies and studios, publishers are playing it a little more safe. So, and I think this is good and also bad at some points, is they're kind of taking a page out of, a lot of companies are doing this, out of like Nintendo's playbook, right? They just do more of showing the game, maybe a quick little minute of somebody talking in between. We're not getting those crazy, like really cringe moments like you would in past. Peggle 2. Yeah. Oh, and like, I always felt Ubisoft showcases were always probably the cringe ones. You know, like when they're announcing the new Just Dance, they just have like some dance group come out and all dressed up and
just dance.
Yeah. Just Dance. Yeah. But, I think that's like some of it too, is just like, you know, there's, as we're moving more towards this kind of, they just show stuff. I do enjoy the Devolver Digital one, you know, because they still kind of do a little bit more show with it as well. But again, it's kind of mixed. Yeah. You know, this year it was a little that it was.
It's funny, but I feel like it kind of overstays its welcome. And the more that they kind of lean into it, the less funny it tends to get.
Yeah.
You know, like when they come on stage, like when they first started doing this at E3, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Mainly because it was kind of short and to the point. You know, like they would make a couple of jokes, show some games, make a couple of jokes, show games. And then like they didn't have to make like this whole like cinematic universe thing of like their goofy Devolver Digital commercial or whatever it is that they were doing.
Yeah. No, and I think that's, I'll say that's probably where they had a little bit of a problem this year, was since they didn't show a lot of games, it was mostly that, which then, yeah, I get it. It's like, okay, like we get it. I mean, I enjoyed it because whatever, we had kind of a lack of showcases and news all week. So it was something to entertain me for 30 minutes. But yeah, I mean, when you only shown five games and they're like only a minute or two worth of video, you know, and the rest of your time you're doing this, it's like, okay, like, yeah, we want more games, but.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, like, you know, over the course of the last couple of days or the last couple of showcases that we've talked about, I mean, even just the notes that we've took, you know, just looking over some of the notes that we took with these showcases, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot that even you and I were even hyped about. Like,
yeah.
I know that, like, everybody was pretty excited about about Starfield. Mm-hmm. I don't really see why. I don't care that much. I don't think it looks that fantastic. I mean, graphically, it looks okay. But I feel like it's really just going to be just another, it's another Bethesda RPG.
Yeah.
And that could be cool, I guess, if you're really into those. But, like, it's not something to, like, shit your pants over. It's not going to be, like, the next big thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's not going to, I don't even think it deserves, like, Cyberpunk levels of hype.
Yeah.
But that's just me. This is pre-release, you know, like this is pre-release where everybody's excited about it. But yeah, I genuinely wasn't that impressed.
There did seem to be a little bit of a lack of excitement. Again, that some of that could be just personal preference, as you said.
Could be. Yep.
But like I we touched on this a little bit last week. I don't remember how far we dug into it, but like I do feel, I know I was mixed, and I know you very much enjoyed kind of the way it is. Like I think there needs to be a healthy mix of, you know, Xbox only showed this is what's coming the next 12 months. They didn't really try to hype up any games in the future. Obviously, we listed off a whole bunch of games that were
missing. Yeah.
Missing from the
franchises.
Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got because I mean, like, Xbox has how many goddamn studios now? And like hardly any of them seem like they're really ready to release anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that we just got Halo 6 months ago, right? We got what was another big Xbox release that came out in the last year?
Psychonauts 2.
Microsoft Flight 2
Simulator.
That was two years ago.
But that was console last year, which was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big deal.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like I think that's maybe where some of the excitement was missing from this year, is that, you know, obviously we've been burned as a community from things like Cyberpunk, you know, and Halo, you know, all this hype for years, and then they just fall flat when they launch. But I do think there needs to be that healthy mix of, you know, let's show and get excited about some new games that are coming a couple years down the road. You know, that I think that's where I think a couple of these showcases took a little too much out of the Nintendo Direct playbook, is because that's the thing that's great about the Nintendo Directs, is they're a little bit more frequent throughout the year, and they're usually like, hey, this is what's coming. Usually, I can't historically comment, I guess, on this, but they always seem to be within the next, you know, 6-8 months or something like that, right? And then they don't really hype anything big, you know, 2-3 years down the road. And I think there needs to be that healthy mix to kind of bring at least a little bit of that excitement back, because E3 has been kind of stuck in this weird, you know, as times and technology has changed, it's not really a trade show where, you know, you get retail excited about new games coming out. So, you know, you know that's where you're kind of seeing it slowly die, and then they were trying to kind of bring in you know, normal, you know, gamers like us a few years ago. So it's kind of stuck in this weird middle, and I think that's where some of the excitement of E3 has kind of died off the last few years, is we're getting less and less of, let's try to wow the industry, you know, the commercial side, you know, the retailers and the people that might invest in us and all this stuff with all this crazy new stuff. And now we're just trying to win over the gamer by showing, hey, here's what's coming soon. Right. You know, but I really feel like there needs to be some kind of healthy middle ground for it to be able to bring at least a little bit more excitement back to this season. You know, obviously E3 is still trying to figure out what they're going to do, what they're going to become.
And I mean, then that's the thing, right? Is that like, do you think that could be really truly the big key piece that's missing? Is that like, without everybody really participating, it feels like it kind of falls flat. And I mean, granted, it was always fun seeing all the trade shows back to back to back and grading on like who took the W this year.
Yeah.
You know, because this would have been a year where it was like, wow, like nobody really won. Like,
yeah,
we barely saw, like, I don't remember. I think the last Nintendo Direct was like 2 months ago.
Something like that.
And we don't know when the next one is.
April.
Yeah, sounds about right. And we don't know when the next one is. You know, the Sony State of Play was kind of, you know, it was kind of a wash. Mm-hmm. Same with the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. Like, there was very little that we actually cared about. And then the whole Summer Game Fest, I mean, I think we plucked out like a handful of games that we were like, oh, this seems kind of cool. But yeah, there was nothing that was really like, holy shit, let's get hyped.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. Like, do you think that that's more of like a, that's just kind of where the industry is at now? Or is it us kind of falling out of games and we're just not as hyped as we used to be because we've been burned? Like, you know, it's hard to get I will admit, it is hard to get hyped after what happened with Halo Infinite. You know, I really wanted to get hyped for that game, and I did. I bought into it, and then.
I think that's, yeah. I mean, some of it, I wouldn't say like we're falling out of games or however you put it there. I think it's more like, at least this, as we mentioned this year, like things like Redfall and Starfield aren't really our cup of teas, you know, right? You know, so we're not going to get hype about it. And yes, we've also been burned by things like, I was hoping Cyberpunk would be good. I didn't buy it, and you know, like, and I didn't really buy into it that much. I was just looking forward to it as a game that I hope is going to be really good, that I buy a couple weeks after launch because everybody says this is amazing. You know, kind of like the Elden Ring, right?
Although
buy that, right? But that kind of hype, like people actually buy and go, yeah, this is freaking good. You should go play it, and then I'd go buy it, right? You know, I'm looking forward to Starfield. I'm interested, right? But yeah, I'm not hype about it, right? No, I'm not like, oh shit, yeah, it was amazing. You know, as we talked last week, the only game that kind of got me that almost that level was High on Life, because it was so different, it was unexpected, and it's coming soon, October 28th. So,
yep, we actually got something to look forward to for the fall season.
Yeah,
unless you're really into Modern Warfare 2, but at the same time, it's like, great, you know, like, it's another Call of Duty game, like, who gives a shit? Like, they showed off some gameplay footage, and it's like, I feel like we've seen it, done it, you know, like, of course, like, Call of Duty is kind of a meme when it comes to campaigns, because it's just kind of the same, the same song and dance every single iteration, and they don't really do much to really amplify or change how they handle their formula, which is, like, you know, arguably could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how invested you are into Call of Duty, I guess. But really, yeah, it's just everybody's got their clocks ticking until when the next Warzone comes out. That's really mm-hmm. what I feel like most people give a shit about.
Yeah. It's yeah. So I don't know, like, I guess, like, how would we improve, like, E3? I guess I already kind of gave a little bit of my thoughts there of where they need to bring a little bit more of that hype back and kind mm-hmm. of, you know, like, you know, show some games that are, you know, again, just personal opinion, I do feel like they're playing it too safe, and then you get in a situation we're at now where it's like, okay, that's cool, there's a couple games coming, you know, it's exciting to see Grounded finally, you know, being released and some cool stuff for Sea of Thieves, but, like,
yeah
just you did, the excitement's not there anymore, you know, for like, oh, did you see that sweet trailer for Gears 6 or Fate, you know, Fable, like, holy crap, like, you know, I forget, is that turn, it's not turn 10, I forget who's making that one, it's the other Forza company, but anyway, or studio, but anyways, like, you know, like, oh cool, like that, you know, like, we're not sitting here talking like, yeah, it really feels like they're kind of capturing the old feel and humor from the original Fable game. We didn't get shit, so we don't even know, mm-hmm. right? Honestly, right. The rumors we're hearing so far actually aren't good things. It sounds like one or two of those was it Fable and Everwild, and what was the other one I was thinking? Avowed. There's actually been some rumors there saying they're kind of in some development trouble. So, you know, and who knows? They're rumors, right?
Right.
Could be just that, like, oh, hey, we just need a little more time. Kind of like Starfield, right? You know, we heard, I think before they delayed that a month before, I saw rumors where everybody's like, oh, it's shit. It's a ton of problems. We're in trouble. Halo Infinite all over again. And I'm like, and then they come out and they're like, no, we just need a little more time. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they're right. And we'll find out next year whenever it does release it. Shit, right?
Right. But it could be, because I mean, like, I guess we're really going to have to see if that holds water next year, because next year, you know, we would have been out of, you know, pandemic mode for well over a year at that point. So there, you know, you really can't lean on that as kind of a reason why development has slowed so much. Granted, yes, mm-hmm. like, video games take multiple years to make, but now we're kind of getting to that point where we're escaping that now, and it's you know, but the thing is that you have so many of these little indie companies who are crushing it this year. I mean, I think like, you know, even if it wasn't like the, you know, big AAA franchise to get hyped about, there's still quite a few, you know, AA games that I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of excited for this, you know, like, yeah, did it blow me away? No, but it was kind of nice to see, you know, Plague Tale 2. That's fun. Yeah. It was nice to see Metal Hellsinger. I thought that was kind of neat. That was a fun surprise.
I played a little bit of the demo, not a ton of it, but it was pretty interesting. I think I need to really get used to like the rhythm, you know, and actually like shooting and actions on it. But yeah, it was interesting. I had a little fun with that when I tried the demo.
Right. And things like High on Life, you know, like it's stuff like, and this really makes me think that, you know, we really need to stop trying to get hyped over the AAA big blockbuster IP. And mm-hmm. we really need to just start turning more of our attention to some of these indie titles. The only problem is that I feel like there's a lot of indie titles that all try to do the same thing. You know, they really sink into like the cute 2D game, that it could be like the cute 2D platformer with really cute animals for characters and things like that. There's so many of those now that it's just like, I do like seeing things that are somewhat different, like Metal Hellsinger, even though that isn't purely original, you know, but like it's stuff like that makes me kind of excited to see something happen. I mean, I want to get hyped about it, but you mm-hmm. know, I guess, yeah, when it's not a very established franchise, it's kind of harder to, which I understand, but I feel like we just need to like turn away from these AAA franchises, and hopefully at some point, once we do that, then good God, maybe we'll actually get something new from these studios. You know, if like ever everybody's not expecting Fable 6, 7, and 8 and Resident Evil 9, 10, and 11 and, you know, Final Fantasy 25, 6, and 7. Like, if we get away from that stuff, maybe we'll actually get something different instead of, oh, it's the 10-year anniversary of the sequel to this game. So now we gotta, you know, we're beholden to make a remake for it now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, God, come on.
I think there's two points you brought up there. It's like, I don't think we necessarily have to, you know, stop getting hyped about AAA. I think they need to respect their fans and their IP a little bit more. I think is where, you know, we get really burned the last few years. Since publishers and studios really leaned into, we're going to release a half-baked game and fix it later, right? That's where I have trouble anymore getting hyped about AAA games. Obviously, anybody that's, you know, actually been a longtime listener has heard us talk about Halo, where it really just doesn't feel like they're respecting the IP or the fan base. So, like, that, you know, that's where it's hard for me to get hyped about anything Halo anymore. And that's, I think that's a lot of those big, you know, franchises is, it's not necessarily bad to get hyped over them. It's just, they aren't earning it anymore. And then fans get burned out, and then we're right. Because I still love getting hyped about, like, because there, you know, it's like maybe kind of like movies, right? It's still nice to get out there and watch that big blockbuster movie. I can still watch those nice smaller shows, since things like Netflix and Hulu and everything are bumping out these smaller good quality, not necessarily indie, right? But they're not always these big blockbuster adventures, you know, whatever it is, you know. So to me, it's still exciting. Like, I still want those occasional huge blockbuster, like, you know, like I can't wait for, I don't know what game it'll be, but the next game that gets me so hyped like I was for Halo 3, right? You know, like, right? That's, it's so fun to just have that cultural phenomenon of a game do that. And I guess Cyberpunk was maybe from a community, again, not a personal standpoint, but community standpoint, that was, everybody was just crazy excited about. But unfortunately, we know what happened there.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I mean, a lot of games lately have been dropping the ball on the hype. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with you. You know, you bring up a good point. Like, sometimes we do need that, just that big blockbuster title to really, like, bring everybody together, like it happened, you know, like it did with Halo 3, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, really, Halo Infinite had that opportunity. I mean, you had people who were dropped, you know, you had pro players who were coming off of Apex to come play Halo. You were having people coming from Warzone to play Halo. Everybody was getting excited about it. But it's not quite on the same level of phenomenon as Halo 3 was, you know, where the whole world knew that this game was coming out, and that was kind of a cool thing, but they've dropped the ball. So many companies have dropped the ball so much that it's kind of hard to get excited about it. And it makes you think, well, if they're not going to respect the franchise, if they're not going to give us, you know, something like, I can't imagine that, you know, like, there is a formula to just make, here's how you make a banger blockbuster, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, it's hard to say what we should expect from them anymore, is basically what I'm trying to say. I don't know what to expect from them anymore, because, they've dropped the ball so many times, and we need to do something to either, like I said, turn away from that franchise, you know, kind of turn our back on it for a while and focus on something else. And hopefully that'll get them to refocus on what is important with that franchise, or the franchise goes under or something like that, or it just kind of falls into the wayside for a while and we can get excited about something else. Or they can make something new.
I think as a community, we need to get rid of our, you know, we're so addicted to copium and hopium, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we just need to, like me, I am always, because it's what really got me, there's a lot of things that got me into gaming, but Halo had a really big impact on me early on, right? In from 2001 to, you know, 2000, whatever, Halo 3 to 2007, just like huge impact on me as my, you know, a gamer and my, I guess, teenage years there. So, shit, I just blanked on what I was going there.
So it had a huge impact on you, and it's something that you want to get excited for?
Oh, shit, I just had a complete train wreck. I don't remember where I was going with that. But I told you, man, my brain's not right with these allergies. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I do miss the excitement. That is what I truly miss from these AAA blockbusters, is I do miss the excitement and the hype. And as much as, yeah, I want to huff as like extreme amounts of copium that these things would be good. Yeah, it sucks being jaded. Like, it really sucks to be jaded about a lot of these games that we used to be excited for, mainly because, yeah, it's been one disappointment after another.
Yeah. All right, my brain, which is a single thread processor, caught up, right? So I guess the point what I was getting to is Halo was such an impact on my teenage years, and I like the IP, but with the last couple years with how Halo 5 and the Master Chief Collection and Halo Infinite, like, I'm always going to look forward to hope that the next Halo whatever is going to be good. But honestly, I kind of like, you know, this is where I think we need to get rid of that hopium and copium, is just you put it down, you know, whenever their numbers of people buying, when engagement, you know, like, I wish people that are just sitting here, I get it, they're content creators and that's the world we live in, right? And this is the game they pick, so they're probably, you know, holding on, you know, tooth and nail,
trying
to make money. But it's like, people just need to stop, just put it down. There's so many other better games to play right now. Wait, we joke about it, wait 4 years and I'm sure Halo Infinite will be fine. But like that's a good way to send the message. Just stop coping with it and just go play other games, you know, and then stop living into that hype train cycle where we're going to be burned for 5-6 years or whatever with Halo Infinite. But when Halo Finite, right, that'll be the next one, right? Or maybe it's Halo Finite now, or Finite. How do you say that? Anyways, whatever. Halo Infinite 2, more Infinite, comes out. You know, that hype train is going to start again, and people are just going to get burnt. Like, whenever
Halo, at least it's not Halo Infinite anymore. Yeah.
And that's my thing. That's the point where I'm at, is whatever the next Halo title is going to be, I'll be interested just because it's an IP. But honestly, I don't know if I'm going to go, like, it's probably now an IP where I'll wait a couple weeks or a month or two, and do people think it's any good? You know, is it actually functional? That, you know, is the story, you know, be on the message boards looking, right? You know, I think that's kind of the point where I am at with a lot of games. This Halo is just a kind of a current example of it. But yeah, it's just, it's we needed to stop kind of this whole hopium copium. Just go play the good games, the ones that are functional, the ones that have studios or communities that care, right?
I mean, honestly, this is why I actually really, really enjoy going back and playing retro games. I really, really do. There are so many of them that hold the test of time very, very well. Even if they have a little bit of, like, janky controls and things like that. Like, you go back and play some of those old games, you almost relive those feelings of, like, when you fell in love with it in the first place, and you're like, God damn, do I miss this. Like, there is something truly, like, even against a AAA game from 2022, there is something truly special about what they made here compared to what they made, you know, compared to what we got from 2022 or something like that.
Yeah. No, usually, again, there's always edge cases, but you definitely, probably the 360 PlayStation 3 era and earlier, you got a little bit more, I feel, where the studios and the designers got to do what they wanted. Again, that's just very broadly speaking, because obviously there's plenty of scenario. Like, I guess one of the areas where a lot of PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 games that era suffered was tacking on a multiplayer, because every game had to do that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, they focus more on the gameplay and the story, and there wasn't this whole push for microtransactions and loot boxes and keep the player engaged as long as we can, right? And again, not saying there's not modern games out now that are just fantastic, or games that even do microtransactions and try to keep you engaged. There's good games of those too, but when everybody's doing that and every game is just trying to suck you in and suck all the money out of you, it just, you going back to those older games, like, that's because it was just here to tell a good story or good gameplay or both, or just playing multiplayer to have fun. Right?
Yeah. Not it was just about having skin. fun.
not to get this new skin or complete a battle pass that's going to have shit in there that, guys, if you're listening, most of that stuff you're not going to use. Yeah, coming like from 90% somebody who played
of it, yeah.
Yeah, coming from somebody who used to religiously play Destiny and Destiny 2. Well, I guess the season pass or the battle pass stuff kind of didn't come till Destiny 2, but I would complete all those and try to earn all those things, and it just sat in this case, my vault. You know, when referring to Destiny, mm-hmm. and it's like, you're not going to use it. So why are you are you having fun doing it? Well, not really. Then why are you doing it? Just to get that skin you're not going to use.
Yep. It's got to be completed. But, you got to complete it. Got to get my money out of it.
But the other point that you mentioned quite like 10 minutes back was, like remakes and stuff like that. As much as, see, that's another thing where I'm very,
I grow so tired of reliving the past like that. Yeah. Like, I'm happy to go back and play retro games as they were. But man, like, it's so different when they try to keep rehashing and reselling me on nostalgia. Like, if I really want nostalgia, I'll go play the goddamn old games that I have.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, hang on to my rose-tinted glasses with all the good stuff in there. The only thing I really make exception for was Resident Evil 2's remake. Mm-hmm. Because they really did change the formula. They basically just told pretty much the same story, but the way that the game played was pretty different, and it was fresh. Like, it was something different but familiar, and I loved it. It was very good. That's mm-hmm. the only remake that I've played in, I want to say ever, where I've mm-hmm. been actually happy about about buying a game that I already owned, because it felt like it was a different game.
But again, kind of going back to the two points you made about about going to play other games and why it's hard to get hyped about things. Obviously, we just talked about how, you know, companies don't respect your time, the player base, the IPs, things like that. The other kind of meant to your kind of other point with the remakes is, again, I'm very mixed on this because, you know, some of the remakes are really good, but I also think that's a crutch that the industry is falling back on, and it's been mm-hmm. around for all too long. And I know everybody's out there going, yay, I'm so excited I'm getting a remake of The Last of Us. And I know I've had my enjoyment of, you've had your enjoyment of Resident Evil 2, and I'm excited that the new Dead Space is coming out. But that's also it all kind of speaks to what we were just talking about too, where it's nice to go back and play those old games that have good gameplay. I think this is a crutch for a lot of the industry. And where we lose a little bit of hype for a lot of things is because they're just remaking old games that are good, right? Because
they're touching old but good products. Yeah.
And they're leaning on that to kind of keep player bases and IPs alive and sell more stuff. And
sometimes again,
I'm mixed. I like those games coming out, but just make new. Start, you know, again, kind of go back to that. Respect the, you know, go make a new Dead Space. I don't know what they're on for, right? You know, I'd rather have than a remake is, even if they want to do like a spiritual reboot, right? You know, or something kind of like what they did with, what was it? Prey and what's another game I'm blanking on that they kind of did? Halo, right?
Right.
Halo Infinite spiritual reboot. But that kind of like that's what I was thinking of, Lara Croft, you know, the Tomb Raider games, right? They kind of like were like, hey, we're gonna make another Tomb Raider series, and it's just gonna be our version of it, right? They didn't go well. Mm-hmm. We're gonna remaster all, I don't know how many Tomb Raider games came before the newer Crystal Dynamic ones, but like, we're just gonna sit here and remaster all those because we don't know how to make a good one. Like, hey, we took a chance, we made three really good ones. I really think people should go play the new Tomb Raider trilogy if they haven't already. They're a lot of fun. But yeah, I'd rather have that, go out on a limb. But again, that's that whole, like, you know, it's riskier to make something new. Who knows if players will like it? Well, if you respect their time and the IP, there's a good chance they'll probably like it. But
if you make it so that it's more fun than I don't know about profitable, but like, if you make it so that it's, you're targeting more the fun than trying to siphon the wallet, then yeah, I think people are going to respect it more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think and it even sucks when they do the remakes poorly too.
Yeah.
Case in point, you know, like Warcraft 3 Reforged. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's just that was an absolute train wreck. I mean, it's nice when they do it well. It's such a hard thing. It's such a hard thing to get behind. Like, I do get I do enjoy some remakes. I will put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Diablo 2 remastered, not bad. Like, that was actually pretty nice. It basically is the exact same game, but they're modernizing it. Same mm-hmm. with you know, like with the Master Chief Collection when they eventually fixed it.
Yeah. You know,
I would much rather play that than play Halo Infinite right now. I mean, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, but then it's more of a, they more modernized it than anything else. And I'm, yeah. I guess I'm okay with that if they're, you know, if you're relying on like online services and things like that to
mm-hmm.
keep the game running and you decide to modernize it, I guess that's pretty cool. But
yeah, I'm not saying companies shouldn't do remakes, remasters and stuff like that. I just think it's an easy cash grab.
Right.
And
well, especially if it doesn't need it. Like, yeah. The Last of Us didn't need a remaster. Yes, the game still looks fine.
Yeah, and they did, well, they technically did do a remaster, I guess, whenever, because that came out at the end of the PS3 era. Mm-hmm. Then they did an upgrade for a PS4. And yeah, it looks fine. And it's only like, what, like 10 years old or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, to me, like, yeah, to me, there almost should be a rule of the game has to be, I don't know, I'd even say 15 years or older to be able to do a remake.
I think it's got to be a pretty, I think it's got to be a pretty significant overhaul. Like when you're going from, you know, a time period when, you know, the character that you're playing, their hands are basically like 10 polygons and they go from mm-hmm. like that to like a full 3D rendered, like realization, very, very realistic, you know, reminiscent of Resident Evil 2, right?
Yeah.
I think that's really, really good. That's why I'm kind of like confused why they even think that Resident Evil 4 needs a remaster.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, why does that need a remaster? It has pretty modern controls for the time. You know, it's got pretty good graphics. Like, I guess if you really wanted to just upgrade the graphics on it, but I don't know, man. Like, graphics don't sell me. They just don't. I love playing games that are old, even if they look like shit.
Oh, come on, ray tracing.
I don't care about ray tracing.
I mean, didn't somebody do that in Doom and Quake?
Yes.
Now ray tracing.
I have played it. Yes, I have played Doom with ray tracing on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point, though, non-jokingly, like, yeah, I mean, like, for me, like, I love playing games that look graphically amazing and use a lot of that cool new tech. And again, we all laugh about ray tracing. But again, I will call out all the haters. Maybe you can't afford to get one of these things that like get a device that really makes those things shine. Something like mm-hmm. this 4K HDR and can support ray tracing. Then tell me that, you know, again, maybe you still just don't care. But to me, you know, stuff like that looks phenomenal. Like Doom Eternal looks amazing on 4K running 60 FPS. I know on PC, I don't have a fancy monitor to be able to run it, but I have a TV that's 4K HDR, runs 60 FPS on my Xbox One or my Xbox Series X, and it looks phenomenal. It's got ray tracing and everything. It looks fantastic. And I'm like people need to see this, right? That's why I was when they were talking about ray tracing with this new generation, and they always talked about it on streams. I'm like, this is awful because nobody's actually seeing it. Be like, one, stream quality is making it look like shit, and two, people are probably watching this on their phones or 1080p monitors. They're not really getting the full experience. So it's hard to sell something visually like that. But anyways, kind of going back to the comment of, yeah, graphics, I mean, in the long, you know, really don't matter to me either. Right. We actually talked about this last week and I actually did play the demo. Did you play the Agent 64 demo?
I did not, but I really want to. That's on my list of things to do. Did you?
Yeah, it was. It's only one level. It's not very long, you know, but it felt very, very much like GoldenEye. But again, I had fun and I, you know, whenever that gets a full release, I might look at buying it. That's looks like a like 64 graphics, right?
I think that's sad. Again, that's the idea.
But the gameplay is fun. So again, to your point, like graphics don't matter. Yeah, well, I definitely like playing playing a game here and there that's looks fantastic, like Doom Eternal.
Right. But remember when we played Ion Fury?
Yeah,
Ion Fury. For the book club? Yeah, it was built in the old build engine, and that was so much fun. Like, that game was actually fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, again, gameplay over graphics, You know, again, but also not saying it's not, you know, it's nice to have good graphics sometimes too, but.
Yeah. Honestly, I think to this day, the only game that I've been stunned, like actually impressed by the visuals has been Star Citizen so far. Mm-hmm. That's the only game that's made me go, wow, this is incredible looking. And maybe like Battlefield 4 in its heyday or something like that. Like that might have been pretty close too, but. Looking back on it now, it kind of looks like butt.
I remember in 2001 being blown away by Halo, going, wow, shit. Wow. Like, did you just see Captain Keyes blinked? That's so cool.
Wow.
their lip, like, that was still the era.
It actually looks like he has hands.
The lip syncing looked pretty good. You're like, shit, man, it looks like they're really talking. I think if the cyberpunk world could have been fully realized like they wanted it, I think that with a good 4K HDR setup and ray tracing would have looked fantastic. Right. Again, Doom Eternal, anybody that has the ability to play it in 4K HDR at 60 frames per second or higher, check and with ray tracing on, check it out. It looks phenomenal. I mean, it always does a great job with visuals. For the most part, and they did not disappoint there.
Yeah, but that's too bad we didn't get a lot of that out of this E3 year.
Yeah,
that's right. We were still talking about the E3 season, the showcase season.
What? Oh, I thought we were just
just ranting about the games industry and remakes and all that. Yeah, we did. I mean, that's the funny thing that's mostly what we got, wasn't it? You know, it was a bunch of little indie games that were. Depending on your flavor of video game, you might get excited for or you might not. But yeah, there was no real big banger blockbuster. And the only one that could be considered a banger blockbuster. Well, yeah, I guess the Starfield, we keep coming back to it.
I think Starfield. I'm not as tied into these communities as something on Xbox, but I didn't get the feeling that The Last of Us Part 1 remake, like I think there's a good community there that's super excited, but that didn't seem like I didn't see the hype around much, it just from going to like some various news sites, you know, there was articles on it, but there wasn't. I saw more again hype for Starfield. I think that was kind of our big game this year.
That was the hype. Yeah, that was the hype train. That's where the hype train was going with Starfield, and even then again, like, wasn't that impressed. I didn't really see the big hype about The Last of Us 2, The Last of Us multiplayer either.
Well, they didn't even talk about it. That was a crazy thing.
They basically said more to come.
They showed a piece of concept art, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a concept art of what this could be like. And it's like,
yeah,
big effing deal. Who cares?
Yeah. See, that's where like. So something like that, something like what was the one in Summer Game Fest when Troy Baker came, Project Stellaris or something like that. I forget what that was. But like, so where E3, I think, does need a little bit more of that hype of, again, even if it's just CGI trailers, but that like, hey, here's, again, our examples are like, you know, Indiana Jones, like, you know, or Gear 6 or something like that. What I don't want to see is... Yeah, some of that Last of Us multiplayer what was that game Troy Baker was showing off? He came out and they're like, it's that whole like what we make fun of last year with Randy Pitchford. Trust me, guys, it's gonna be good, right?
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, great. You know, I'd rather that can be gone from any showcase. I don't want this. Like, let me show concept art and go, here's a game that's coming out. Trust us, it's gonna be awesome.
But you don't want to know what else is really missing from that E3 experience? The people who are actually attending, you know, like, as much as I will happily sacrifice all of the woo people in the crowd. All right.
Oh, you don't like Bethesda woo girl.
I would happily sacrifice all of them to get E3 back. But
yeah,
it's the playable demos. There's nothing playable anymore. At least not that I'm aware of. You have all these news outlets that are kind of just basically sitting on the bleeding edge of the information like the rest of us are.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing.
No hands-on stuff, yeah.
Right. So there's, you know, when they're talking about like gameplay or anything like that, like this is all we have to show for, you know, mm-hmm. I think that is a really big part that's missing, is that you don't have anybody on the ground floor, you know, talking about like, hey, you know, I covered this, and this game. Here are some of the things that you can do. Like, this is what I felt, you know, this is how I thought about it, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I feel like we're kind of missing that as well. It's really just a lot of like reaction content, kind of like what we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not as exciting.
We need E3 back. You know, I'm with you. We need E3 back.
Which is, again, I don't know if it'll happen again. I think E3 needs to kind of figure out a few things, but I think in general, we do for E3 and this to be kind of exciting moving forward, we do need that in person. We do need to try to get, and again, I know times have changed. That's a big reason why, like, EA moved away from the LA Convention Center to do their thing, and why Sony and Nintendo didn't really have any presence there the last few years. But right. Like, we really need that event just to come together and celebrate as a community and get excited and kind of bring all those groups back. Right. So I think whatever the future is, we do need to, obviously we're should be next year, hopefully be back to kind of doing all this in-person stuff. Hopefully somebody or something, whether it's like, you know, Jeff Keighley or the ESA, you know, bringing people together in a week to kind of get that news.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get those hands-on demos. So we get, you know, the people, hopefully us, going like, hey, we actually played Redfall.
We tried the new Mortal Kombat, and we got to play like, you know, like a full hour of this shooter or something like that. Like, how cool would it be to be able to go there and get a hands-on demo of High on Life? Like, that'd be dope. Like,
and I'd happily be wrong about some of my. I'm thinking back here. I went to E3.
Year
was that? That 2012, I think it was. Was my first E3. I still worked at Activision, so I got in as a industry person because they were still industry only then. And I still remember playing Sunset Overdrive and going, it was okay. You know, I don't get it. Everybody that has been listening to our podcast knows I fucking love that game. And I'm still pissed that there's not a second one yet.
There's still no second one.
So, you know, I'd happily be wrong to go in there and play, I don't know, maybe get my hands on Starfield. And then next thing you know, it comes out and I actually sit down and play it. And it's amazing, right? You know,
right. Or, yeah. I mean, like, just getting that experience, you know, getting people to actually try a lot of the stuff. And like I said, it kind of brings a whole air of excitement. Like, even if you're kind of like, the trailers really can only show off so much, right? You know, mm-hmm. I feel like you kind of do need, like, you know, the applause from the audience when something cool gets shown, or you need that sort of like, you know, we need to build the tension in the room so that we can get the audience excited about everything. We need to have stuff on the show floor so that people can get excited about things that they saw, or they can report on things that, you know, the trailer didn't cover or something like that. And everybody's just kind of running around, you know, looking at all of the different stuff that they like or they want to cover. And it's just like everybody's kind of wrapped into this one big building and everybody's in it for the same thing. And they want to play some goddamn video games. They want to show off all the cool stuff. That's the time to do it.
Yep.
We need to start a hashtag. We want E3 back. Bring back E3. Something like that.
I want to, I did share this on the Discord. I honestly didn't read too much into the articles, but I did post, I forget, one or two of them on our Discord. For one thing I laughed about the gaming news industry is that for years they've been just writing the death of E3 and how we don't need it anymore. And this week I saw at least two articles of people that are essentially like us, like, no, we need this. Right. You know, obviously, I've always been in the boat of I want it. I like it. They, you know, obviously they need to change a little bit the times. But like, I was just like, these are the same outlets that were just like, can't wait for E3 to die. It's terrible. Nobody needs it anymore. And then they're like, no, I think we need E3.
Yeah, we definitely need it.
I will say they are, both articles are more similar to how we're approaching it, is like, if it is E3 proper, cool. But really, we just need that week. That is essentially E3 season where Mm-hmm. As a community, we come together as all the different publishers and studios, you know, your big names, your Sonys, your Nintendos, your Microsoft, Ubisoft, CAs, right, all that stuff, like kind of come together. Yeah,
exactly. It was such an event that it wasn't even just like, you know, getting hyped for the Xbox showcase. But yeah, like getting hyped for EA, Ubisoft, Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, every, you know, bunch of other publishers who were present, you know, like I honestly really had wished that, you know, like Valve or, you know, Blizzard at the time would show off some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I really wish that they would come and attend. And, you know, it's like a, you know, giant party for everybody who is into video games to celebrate. And you get it for a whole goddamn week straight. You know, I would sit at the office at work and I would sit and I would have the little stream up of E3 so that I could watch it throughout the day. It was awesome.
Yep.
It's not enough. It's not enough to have a 1 hour stream on one day and then just be like, okay, I guess we're done.
Yep.
I didn't see anything terribly interesting, but now I got to wait till tomorrow to see anything.
Yeah.
I think we had a grand total of like 3 hours worth of content or something like that.
For yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I don't remember how long the Summer Games Fest thing was. It's like 45 minutes or something like that.
Wasn't the Summer Game Fest showcase, wasn't that 2 hours? I think it was 2 hours.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, I thought it was only like 45 minutes.
That was a little longer because I tried watching it over lunch because and I didn't finish it all. I had to watch the rest later, but
okay. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with them now though. I would say let's get E3 back because the excitement isn't there anymore. Like Summer Games Fest is cool, and I applaud Jeff Keighley to, you know, doing what he can to kind of rope this in and fill a void. And it's much like that's something I want to get across is that it is much appreciated what he's doing to try and get everybody on board for this thing. But yeah, we really do like we really need to get back in person. We need to get the hype generate, you know, the hype machine needs to be generated again, even if it's games that I, you know, even if it's more remakes or whatever. Yeah. Like the excitement is just not there anymore. And that's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And we did also mention it last week. Give a lot of props to Jeff. He's done a lot of good work the last few years, kind of keeping the community together and still kind of celebrating things, whether it's the VGAs, you know, at the end of the year, celebrating all the hard work that the studios and publishers and all that stuff put into it as well. And then Summer Game Fest that, you know, that he started in 2020, right? That was when the first one was, the pandemic, because E3 was canceled and all that, right?
Remember that? I don't remember if it was that year as well. I want to say he did it the year before because it was at that point E3 was starting to kind of dismantle because you had companies who were bowing out at the time, like Sony and I think like EA were deciding not to participate in E3.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, sounds, I mean, right. Again, props to him. He's done a good job. So that'll do, pig.
That'll do.
Awesome. Any last thoughts on showcases or stuff?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we'll hit a couple quick topics here. It's essentially all we have. But I did want to get one or two of these out of the way. We didn't have a big lineup of news, but a few little tidbits did come out this past week. Future of Assassin's Creed will be kind of shown off in September. Ubisoft didn't have their kind of showcase this past month. It's rumored that they're kind of essentially pushing what would have been their showcase at E3 season here out to September or this fall. It looks like that could potentially be September because that's when they're going to talk more about the future Assassin's Creed. Could be the rumored remake of Assassin's Creed 1. There's a rumored kind of a smaller scale, more stealth focused game coming out. Or it could be the future of Assassin's Creed, which is Assassin's Creed Infinity. I couldn't say that there for a minute. But you haven't really played Assassin's Creed, have you?
Nope. Still have not.
Yeah. The 1 through 3 is good. I definitely checked those out. I had fun with Black Flag, but that was more of a pirate game. And Origin was fun, but that was the start of Assassin's Creed becoming open world. And that's the last one I played. And I probably won't be playing any of the other ones.
Oh, all right then.
Not like angry, but it's just, you know, it's that Ubisoft formula we like crapping on.
Sure.
Some unfortunate news came out today. We kind of knew this. At least I think we talked about it when the news happened. Vicarious Visions, was that last year, I believe it was basically officially converted into like Blizzard, you know, mm-hmm. merged in with Blizzard. Obviously, they were always an Activision company, but they were brought on. And actually, they're the ones that finished up Diablo, if I remember correctly, right?
They
Diablo
were.
Yep. 2 remake.
Yeah, that's probably a big reason why everybody joked that that was the reason why the Diablo 2 remake was going to be good, because it wasn't Blizzard doing it.
Yep. I remember at the time we were joking about it. I was also kind of, I think at the time I knew this was coming. They did a fantastic job before being moved over to Diablo in remastering Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. Again, one of those few remasters I was excited for. They did a fantastic job. And what I feared then was that them being moved off of, well, being moved into Blizzard, is they wouldn't be doing a Pro Skater 3 and 4, which came out today, essentially. Tony Hawk was talking on, I believe it was a podcast, about how they wanted to do a remake of 3 and 4. I think that was the plans after 1 and 2. But due to everything that happened with Vicarious Visions, it kind of just fell apart. And who knows if we'll see the light of day.
Sad.
Yes. Because if you haven't already, go pick this up. If you enjoyed Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 back in the day, Vicarious Visions did a great job of, one, they kind of rebuilt everything. I believe they imported and then probably slightly modernized basically the controls. So it feels like Tony Hawk, right? It's built on a new engine. I think it's Unreal Engine is what it is.
I believe so.
But they ported in like the old kind of code of how the old games played. So it feels just like it. And then they also did, like we were talking with, like Resident Evil 2 and a few other remasters, is they kind of improved some stuff here and there. They did allow, when you come down off a ramp, you can do a thing to kind of continue your combo. I forget what that was called, but
the manual,
the manual is one of those. Yeah, that's one of them, but I forget what it is. Is it Revert? I forget what it is. Anyways, it allows you to, I think that was introduced in Tony Hawk 2. It might have been 3. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is they brought in, and now you can use some of those things in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1. But even better, too, is that they have settings that you can turn off and say, hey, no, I want the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 feel. I don't want these extra little things that were added later. So, again, they did such a good job, and it's unfortunate that Vicarious Visions won't be doing 3 and 4.
Bummer. That's sad.
Have you played the remaster?
I haven't.
Do you played Tony Hawk growing up?
Oh God, yeah.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Everyone who had a PlayStation, and I think some who had a Nintendo 64, had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah, definitely go pick it up. It's so good, and the soundtrack. I still listen to the soundtrack
alone is worth picking. Yeah. It would probably be worth picking that game up.
They did a pretty good job. I don't remember. I didn't do a playlist to playlist comparison, but due to licensing, obviously they had trouble with some of the tracks, but they also added some. But Spotify has the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remaster soundtrack playlist, and it's fantastic. I still listen to it from time to time because it's such a good playlist. A lot of good songs.
Oh, God, yeah.
A little bit kind of sticking with the skateboarding games. Skate 4 is rumored to be basically revealed next month. We know it's coming. We know it's in the work. And there's I want to say leaks, but basically some stuff has come out of actual gameplay of playtesters playing it. So it sounds like that'll be revealed next month. I don't know. Here's the interesting thing for me is EA canceled. They're not doing like a showcase this year, but I'm wondering, they did mention in a bunch of their fiscal whatever calls or whatever the other month, is that they have like, I think it's 4 games coming out fiscal year 2022. So it'll be interesting to see if it's just kind of like, if Skate 4 is revealed next month, is if it is just Skate 4, or if they're going to have like a mini little like EA Direct or something where they kind of show off Skate 4 and maybe one or two of these other games that are supposed to be coming later in this fiscal year. But yeah.
All right.
Fall Guys is free to play now. Go check that out, especially you Xbox players.
Yep. You have to sign in with your stupid Epic account to do it.
Yeah, dumb. But Fall Guys is fun. Go definitely check that out. That is, again, free. Well,
have
free
you
today,
it?
But as of recording. Yeah, oh, God. Like, I picked it up when Sony gave it away as a PlayStation Plus game for free. And me and a couple buddies, it was kind of like our go-to game for quite a few months. We play once a week. You know, so it's just some buddies that are out east that we keep in touch by playing video games together. And yeah, we all picked up Fall Guys, and it's a riot. It's a ton of fun. I've won three crowns, I think. One was a co-op one. Not saying that wasn't like not to take away because you're still competing, but it was a team win crown. But then two other individual solo crowns. I've come so close so many times winning. I was just always so short on winning it. But yeah, go pick it up. You've played it, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Played it a lot.
It's goofy. It's fun. And now it's free to play. Good news for I know you, Rich. I've played it already. It's fantastic. But Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is coming to Steam as of Thursday. So, again, by the time you're listening to this, it'll be out. So, if you didn't want to go pick it up on the Epic Game Store, you can now pick it up on Steam a normal person.
I will actually pick it up now. And now I can play it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a good time. It's a good time. I could technically play with you with crossplay. I don't know if I'll buy it for Steam, but,
yeah, but
I bought it for Xbox, so I could, yeah. So I'll bring it. I'll bring in my level 40 and just kind of kick some ass. Although I will say, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
It's never fun. I've played Borderlands quite a bit like that, where somebody who has like a ridiculously powerful character who comes in and just decides to run everybody basically through the rest of the game, and it's like, that's boring.
Yep. But I will say this, if you do, cooperation, I think, I forget. Anyways, they introduced it in Borderlands 3, and since this is kind of built off of Borderlands 3, it still has the same option. You have the option to play either, classic Borderlands, you know, way where if you just start in a game and I bring in my level 40, you're kind of screwed
because
everything is going to be leveled to me.
Yeah.
But then they also put in with Borderlands 3 and now in Wonderlands, the option to do scaling. Like I can join up on you as a level 40. Yeah, I'll be probably better in the sense that it's not badass ranking. What is it called?
You probably but there's have a similar abilities and things like that.
Yeah, I'll have all the abilities and I'll have weapons and again, I forget what the badass rank is in Wonderlands, but essentially a badass system where I might have extra perks, right? But the enemies aren't going to be level 40 for me, but level 1-7 whatever for you. So that was a good addition to Borderlands 3 and now Wonderlands. So I could jump in with my 40 and it wouldn't ruin your game.
Well, there you go. I haven't played co-op with Borderlands 3. I just played it by myself. All alone.
Yeah, sorry. That's Mike's fault. He was supposed to play. But yeah, that about kind of does it, unless there's anything I missed or any last little tidbits of news you want to kind of throw out there. Or
no, I think that's where we're at. Nice. That is where we are at.
Awesome.
Nice little rant about E3 and the award, or not award season, but the summer games snooze fest.
Yeah. Yep. No, hopefully things get better. But yeah. Awesome. Well, we mentioned it at the start of the show, and we'll mention it here at the end. Be sure to pick up Little Nightmares and play along with us. Next week's episode will be a book club. We always have a lot of fun there. Again, you can also find links to our Discord and socials at campfiregamingpodcast.com. Be sure to definitely jump into our Discord. Give us some recommendations on games to play in the future. Give us your thoughts on Little Nightmares. Or, heck, if you're still playing catch-up or kind of playing along with some of the older titles, let us know what you think about those. You know, we've had such a crazy... What are we on, like...
We're like on, like, 14, I think.
Yeah, book club. I think we're a little farther. Like, book club
maybe
18 or something.
Yeah, because I didn't play last month.
Yeah, we've got quite... Yeah, you should play. You should play Alice Madness Returns just on your own. It's fun. It's messed up, man. The story. It's
messed up, man.
The story, yeah. No, it's a good time, though. But yeah, be sure to check us out there. You can hop onto our socials, Twitter and Instagram. We'd love if you you know, come out there, send us your thoughts, give us a like, a follow, give us ratings on, you know, whatever you're listening to us on. You know how it goes. We're just like everybody else. All that stuff helps out. So,
yes, sir.
But I think that's about does it for us this week. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time around the campfire.